Welcome to show number 32 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is up, everybody? Hopefully everybody's doing really well out there. We are back, and we are on a new computer. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Let me know how the quality is on here. I'm on my laptop. My other computer, it definitely works, but I'm running a new operating system. Aside from investing in Microsoft, I couldn't get another. I'm actually waiting for Windows 7 to come out, so I'm not going to get another XP disk or waste my time with that. I'm going to wait till Windows 7. In the meantime, I'm running Linux, which is an alternative operating system. It's actually free, and I'm running off a live CD, which means I didn't even load it onto my hard drive. I'm having some difficulties loading my audio program on there. It's actually pretty difficult to load any program on there. So that's the reason why we're on this computer here. So send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. If it's unbearable, if it's not any good, let me know. It doesn't sound very good on my laptop, so hopefully it's coming out better for you. But we've got a lot to talk about today. First of all, it's show number 32. That's Matt Johnson's number. That's one of my favorite players, one of my favorite people of all time. So we'll definitely talk about him. We'll be talking a little bit about the rookie card distinctions, specifically in Beckett Magazine and things like that. They have the regular RC. They have RC in parentheses, RC, XRC. There's all kinds of different things that you kind of need to keep in mind because rookie cards are sometimes the most collectible, most valuable. Those are the cards we go after. So we'll make some distinctions and kind of define some of those terms, let you know what's going on there. We've got all kinds of other stuff. We're going to talk about the NBA draft here in just a second. We've got Brett Favre trying to come back. We unfortunately had a legend, the King of Pop, passed away. And as you guys know from listening to the show, I'm somewhat of a fan of the King of Pop. Definitely his music career. Aside from that, I'm definitely not a fan of the King of Pop, but musically wise, big time fan of his, and it's unfortunate that he passed away. Still only 50 years old. He's about to do another tour. I don't know how that would have gone. That would have created plenty of probably memorable Michael Jackson moments, but we won't get a chance to see that. Unfortunate for his fans and the people that loved his music, although he's a very rare performer that will have his music loved for the rest of his life. So, he's not living anymore, so that doesn't make any sense, but it's early in the morning. And but other than that, we got some product news, and we'll do some other stuff. But let's get right into the matter of things, and we'll talk a little bit about this NBA draft that just happened. I believe it was last week. Lots of moves. That's what was interesting. You had lots of moves in this thing. Tons of teams kind of trading picks and getting new players. Interestingly enough, I remember seeing the Rockets get a lot of players for cash, and it was like, wow, the Rockets sure are getting a lot of players. Well, if you didn't see the news, it looked like Yao Ming might have been out for maybe the whole next season because his foot, I guess, still has some fractures. It's not healing very well. And Yao's body seems like it might be breaking down a little bit. So the Rockets look like they had to make some moves to get some players on the roster. Hopefully some of them will work out. I mean, they took the Lakers to seventh games just a couple weeks ago or about a month ago. So, you know, they had a very strong team even without Tracy McGrady. But kind of all hinged on Yao because he is a difference maker on the court. And it doesn't look like he's going to be playing next year. So Yao Ming card's definitely in the dumpers. So let's talk a little bit about this NBA draft order. Obviously, Blake Griffin goes number one. I heard on a local radio, local news station that his personality was horrible. He was doing interviews and didn't seem like he wanted to be there. I just think that's kind of the guy's style. I think he probably, around his teammates and things like that, he's probably a little bit more open and things like that. But Blake didn't win over any of the Sacramento media. In terms of the Sacramento Kings, they got kind of gypped. They were supposed to get the number one pick, but they ended up getting the fourth pick. They got this guy, Tyreke Evans. I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about him, but what was interesting was a lot of people thought they should have drafted Ricky Rubio, the young Spanish kid. I think he's only like 19. from Spain. I guess if he's Spanish, he's probably from somewhere in Spain. And he was drafted fifth by the Timberwolves, which was really interesting. Not that that was a very interesting pick, but the pick after, they picked another point guard. Timberwolves had back-to-back picks, and they picked Johnny Flynn right after that. To me, the no-brainer. The Warriors ended up getting a deal, I believe, at number seven. They got Stephen Curry, or is it Stephen Curry? I don't know. I think it's Stephen Curry. And they should have, I believe, drafted Rubio and Curry, because that's just drafting two point guards back to back. You had Rubio and Flynn, both point guards. You could have gotten Curry, who you know will at least probably average maybe 12 to 15 points as a rookie, which is, that's probably going out on a limb a little bit. But I believe this guy is not quite the talent as Kevin Durant, but similar. He can put the ball in the basket. And it seems to me if you got back-to-back picks, it would be great to get a young point guard, which they did, and then scoop a guy that can put the ball in the hoop so you have someone to pass to. But the Timberwolves decided Jeff Flynn. Maybe they know something we don't, but hopefully it works out for them. There's quite some other surprises. The Bucks got Brandon Jennings, who has had some rough PR moments over the last. Tyler Hansborough went 13 to the Pacers. That, I don't know. Tyler Hansborough is going to be a great, he's going to be a great fit in Indiana. It's like perfect player for them. But seems like it was a little early. I really like Ty Lawson. I know he had some injury problems, but the Timberwolves got another big guard. They actually scooped him up at 18, but I believe they traded him away, or we're going to do something with that pick. So we'll see what happens. All in all, it was a very interesting draft. If you collect basketball cards, it's going to be a pretty good draft, in terms of the rookie cards. Obviously, rookie cards kind of drive these set prices, kind of are the reason you buy basketball cards a lot of the time. And next year it's going to be, or this coming year, I should say, it's going to be very interesting. You have Panini having a deal. So, one of our all-time regular listeners, Ezra from Utah, made a very good point. He put Ricky Rubio on one of his strong buys. And I said that Griffin, his cards are probably going to rival Blake Griffin, right? And it makes sense. It's kind of a no-brainer because you've got all the foreign interests. There's going to be people overseas that are going to be interested in the club. And you have Panini, which is an international brand. It's recognized overseas probably more than it is here in the States. So there's going to be maybe some added value there. And if they can lock him in, get Griffin signed, and get all these guys signing the cards, Stephen Curry cards are going to be nice. Johnny Flynn, Tyreke Evans, James Harden might be kind of a sleeper guy that definitely flies under the radar. Griffin and Rubio, although he was the third pick, I don't know how sleeper that could be. Hashim Tabeet, I believe, forgive me, brother, if I said your name there, but he's more of a defensive presence, but he does have that international flavor going for him, and he was very popular. I believe he went to UConn. So we'll see what happens. Tyler Hansbrough there. There's a lot of North Carolina guys that are hanging around. Those guys are always pretty popular. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But that was the NBA draft. I thought it was cool. Thing you want to keep in mind now is that the NBA Summer League is going to start. And so this is going to be your chance to see a lot of these guys. And if you have NBA TV, or the NBA Network, whatever they call that station, on DirecTV, I believe it's like 601. They have the NBA Summer League kicking off, and you'll want to make sure that you check that out. It starts 7:10, which I guess is July 10th, and goes through July 19th. So you want to check that out. It looks like to me that the Rockets, the Warriors, the Pistons, the Kings, the Lakers, Raptors, Bucks, Mavericks are all participating during that time. And then you have the Hornets and the Spurs. You basically got all the teams rocking their summer league off basically from July 10th through July 19th, so about a week and a half. You'll be able to check these guys out. Most of the games are played on TV, and so you'll be able to see them on NBA TV. Check out some of these rookies. I know Blake Griffin's going to be there. I know a lot of these other rookies are going to be there. You'll see a lot of second-year guys, too. So you see guys that were drafted last year, maybe didn't get a lot of playing time. They'll show up, and they'll be kind of a mix of veterans. Some of them decide to show up or decide to maybe get a little extra work in. You'll see them at the D-League as well. So, and look for Nate Robinson. I know his number was retired. Remember we talked about that, I think, on last year's show. His number was retired at the league. So maybe Nate will make an appearance at his long-awaited summer league game. So we'll see what happens with that. But after this very short break, we'll cut it out of here and we'll come back with a little bit of product news. Remember, we have a lot of things on top. We're going to be talking about Magic Johnson. We're going to be talking about the rookie card indicators and what you need to look for when you trade those cards. All of that.
Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul.
Football, ironically, but we'll start it off with some baseball. Usually one of the most anticipated baseball products of the year, Allen and Ginter baseball. Very cool set, especially if you can get it right in the beginning. It's usually priced very well, sub $100, but as the hits kind of tend to make it on eBay and people start trying to collect the mini card sets and all the kind of little sub-parallel sets you can collect out of that stuff, it tends to go up in price quite a bit. It's a decent value, you know, sub $100. At the hobby store, should be maybe around $4 or $5 a pack. 24 packs, 8 cards. Expect a lot of hit and miss here. You got 3 autographs and a memorabilia, those kind of things per box. You get a little box loader if you buy the whole box. There's some interesting cards. There's a Michael Phelps autograph, numbered out of 3. There's all kinds of those DNA relics, which have like hairs, strands, and all kinds of stuff. The rip cards are really cool. Those look like they're about 1 in 288 packs. That's like a card inside of a card. So you have a card, and then inside that rip card can be like Dick Perez sketch cards. There's can be like mini Wood cards, all these kind of one-of-one. There's the Ginter code again, which is your chance to win, I believe, a chance to be on next year's set. So you have your own baseball card if you can decipher that code. Obviously, what I love about this set are the little mini cards. Then they have black bordered ones, they have no numbered ones, and they have all kinds of different parallels involved in there. I really like those cards, although finding something to store them in is sometimes a challenge, but I think people have taken care of that by now. If you go to your local hobby shop, I'm sure you'll find something. They'll be able to take care of you. There's printing plates. There's all kinds of cool stuff in Allen Ginter. There's always a couple surprises, and it's an interesting set. Tends to stay in the relative affordable range. 24 packs at about the $100 range, sometimes less, sometimes slightly more. Decent option, especially if you love baseball. We're right in the heart of baseball season. So it's a cool set right in the smack dab middle of it. But there is a lot of football that's coming out. I guess everybody's getting ready. These mini caps are breaking. We're going to fantasy football drafts. I've already got my email to join my fantasy football league. Some sanity there. Already getting ready for fantasy football. I'm just getting in the swing of things for fantasy baseball. So, let alone football. But we got tons of cards. And one of my favorite sets, Donruss Classics Football. That's a really cool set. I really like this set because it's one of the first sets that come out. That's really early on. That's actually worth buying. It's worth paying for it by the pack or by the box. It's actually a really nice set. I like this set. A lot of parallels, lots of serial numbered stuff. So I think it makes a decent break. Whether or not you get good value out of it in terms of resale value or the hits or something, I don't know. But they put a lot of serial numbered stuff on things, and I really like that. I think that adds value to the set and to collectors. Lots of autographs. Each box is going to have 2 rookie cards and 3 memorabilia or autograph cards. So lots of cool stuff in here. 18 packs, 5 cards per pack. Like I said, tons of like legend stuff in here. You're going to find old players and things like that. There's triple jerseys and there's prime pieces. things numbered to 25, 100, 10, 250. This set has the whole gamut of serial numbers and parallels and things like that. So it's a little confusing maybe if you're trying to complete a set or something like that. But if you're just looking for a fun box to open and score lots of little serial numbered cards, you know, almost one per pack, things like that, it's a pretty cool box, and you might hit something big, you know, a rookie autograph out of 25, or, you know, some old school legend out of like 1 of 1, things like that, or out of 10. There's lots of little cool things you can find in that set, and I really like Donruss Classics. I think it's a decent value and tends to pay off year after year. Topps Magic, highly anticipated by a lot of people. We'll see how it works out. It kind of rubs off their, that's no pun intended there, it's a rub-off portion on the back, reveals an answer to a trivia question. These were cards in 1951, right around that area. Looks like you get 3 autograph cards per box. So we'll see what happens. 24 packs, 7 cards per pack. It's about the same price as Donruss, at least the SRP is, you know, right in that $80, $90 range. So expect maybe $4 or $5 a pack at the hobby store, maybe a little bit more. And only three autographs out of 24 packs. You know, unless you see a guy run off like 10 packs and not pull anything, might be a little bit of a risk. But lots of people will probably chase this set a little bit. But it doesn't look like a whole bunch is going on. Original 1951 Magic buyback cards, randomly inserted. 1951, that's a long time ago, but in terms of cards, when you've got Ginter occasionally inserting original Ginter cards, and you got some tobacco cards put in some other sets, 1951, really not all that long ago. So we'll see what happens with that. UD Icons football, this is always very popular with the people. People like icons, but the one thing you want to keep in mind on is they tend to not send the redemptions back very quickly on this. I remember the Brett Favre card was one of the first Brett Favre cards in a Jets uniform last year. Going off topic really quick, I think I said it on the show that when Brett Favre retired, I think I reported it in our news segment, and it said it wouldn't surprise me if he came back. I haven't watched SportsCenter in the last day or so, so I don't know if he's made a definitive answer, but I know he's interested in trying to come back with the Minnesota Vikings, and he's been practicing with that high school team that he practiced with a lot last year, and those YouTube clips and those ghetto shots of him throwing to high school students appeared. So we'll see what happens, but I believe those cards, he didn't come back quick enough for Icons to put a redemption in for his first Minnesota Vikings card. But those probably wouldn't have been redeemed until he made a comeback with the Packers again in 2010. So we'll see what happens. UD Icons, 10 packs, 6 cards per pack. You got 2 memorabilia cards and 1 autograph, so about 1 in 3 packs is going to have here. Expect close to $10 a pack on this. Lots of little parallels and some patch cards and things like that. Lots of cool autographs. If you do get a hit, tends to be a nice one, and tends to be a decent card. So I don't know, $85 a box, you know, you're getting it at that point less than $10 a pack, might be worth it. You know, kind of depends on how your hobby shop marks it up. Probably not worth it by the pack, because you're paying $8 or $9 for a pack of this, and you might get nothing. And you can get on eBay and get some really nice cards for $8 or $9, or you can get a handful of cards for $8 or $9. So might not be worth it at that price. Might want to see what happens to the price. Lots of rookies. Of course, with all of this stuff, you're looking at tons and tons of rookies. So we'll see what happens with that. Another old school football release after that. I told you there was lots of football. Philadelphia football, 20 packs, 8 cards per pack. 20 cards would be a lot in a pack these days. Philadelphia football, old school stuff. That was released is one of the first football cards back in the day. If you go look at an old price guide or something like that, you'll see Philadelphia. I actually have a couple of the old Philadelphia cards. They were pretty interesting. It's hard to distinguish whether they're a Topps card or any other card, but Philadelphia, I believe they were known for their size, a little awkward size. Back in the day, I don't know how these cards printed, but lots of different things. You're going to get one autograph, two memorabilia cards, and some short prints and things like that in this set. Some interesting cards, I guess, for, let's see, it's about 60 to 65 box, you know, price for a box. Not a bad price, considering you're getting three hits. Not too bad. We'll see what happens with Philadelphia football, but it's an upper deck line, so got to know what you expect from them. Last thing, finally, I wouldn't forget about you basketball fans, UD Ultimate Collection Basketball. It's going to be a lot like the hockey. As you remember, the hockey switched to like a multi 15 mini box, kind of case thing. And one pack's going to have four cards. It's going to be in the $80 to $90 range. So lots of cool stuff in this. Obviously, per pack at the $80 range, you're going to get one memorabilia or autograph card. And the big hits in these are going to be the autographs, are going to be the rookies, are going to be Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. These are going to be some of their last Upper Deck cards. Although, as we've talked about already, Upper Deck's going to be doing some prospect cards and probably some other interesting things so they can release basketball product, because they do have still quite a portfolio of athletes to deal with and probably some things to unload. So we'll see what happens, but Ultimate Collection Basketball, if you can't afford the $85 pack, if you're like me and $85 is, you know, that's a couple hundred shares of a penny stock, you know, I don't know if it's a great deal, but always some great single cards. If you're a fan of single cards and single card rookie cards and all those kind of things, excellent, excellent value. Definitely will recommend doing that. There's some other products coming out. You know, you got UFC cards. You got all this, some NASCAR stuff coming out. Sage coming out with another product, although their product gets kind of diluted. And you've got some non-sports stuff. Harry Potter. If you're into Harry Potter, I know there's a new movie coming out. My girlfriend reminds me, tries to get me to go to these Harry Potter movies. I'm never going. I know she listens to this occasionally, so sorry, but I'm not going to go with you this year. You're going to have to find somebody else. Find another date to go to the Harry Potter movies. They're even hard. It's even hard to say that. It's a mouthful. And whenever things become a mouthful, you probably should kick it out to a break and come back with a new segment. And we're going to be talking about the rookie card extensions you see in price guides, the kind of the difference between the twos, what you need to know when you see that kind of stuff. We'll be talking about all that after this. This time we're going to be talking about the rookie card. I don't know what you call it, the extension or the little, I don't know. It's basically when a card is listed in the price guide. They usually have RC next to it. But back in the day, there was XRC, and that's kind of made a small comeback. And now Beckett uses parentheses, which is those two little things that you either make happy or sad faces in text messages. That's what, if you don't know what a parenthesis is, there's like 4-year-olds text messaging these days. So they probably don't know the word parenthesis, but they know that you can make either a smiley face or a sad face with those marks. So they put those around the rookie card, and we'll talk about what that means. Basically, let's talk about your standard RC. You know, you got Jim Tomey RC or, you know, Hashim Tabeet RC. It basically means that card is believed to be his major issue, the majority of his cards are released in that year, or what is considered to be a major issue, and that's usually by a Topps, a Donruss, now a Panini, an Upper Deck, those kind of things. And we'll talk about why that is the case here in a little bit. But that basically means, say they were drafted, you know, this year. Basically, these rookies are drafted in 2009. Well, the 2009-2010 NBA product will be considered their rookie cards. And we saw a year or two ago, Greg Oden. He had tons of rookie cards. He didn't even get to play his rookie year. But those are all considered his rookie cards, even though none of them had action shots. None of them contained any relevant information because he didn't even play that year. But those are his rookie cards because it was the year after he was drafted, or it was the year of his draft. And it gets obviously a little bit – football is obviously the same as basketball. When guys get drafted, they normally play or they sit on the bench. But either way, cards are usually made of them. Baseball is where it gets really tricky because baseball has high school kids that get drafted, and sometimes they go to college, and sometimes they – you know, players are selected from other countries, or they're signed as free agents from other countries. And so there's all kinds of things, and guys usually marinate in the minors for a year or two, or – usually much longer than that if they're lucky to make it. So it gets a little tricky with baseball. You rarely have that guy. Steven Strasburg might be the guy that does go from maybe kind of getting drafted right to the major leagues or very quickly. And remember, we shouted out Steven Strasburg long before he was the number one pick. It was in 2008 when we talked about Steven Strasburg, I believe. So don't forget about that. So just a little personal plug there. But in terms of rookie cards with baseball, what they're doing is they're putting those parentheses marks around them now, because that is now means it's the guy's true rookie. So that's after maybe 2006-ish, 2007, one of those years they switched the rules where the guy had to have playing time, and now it's got that, it's actually a pretty cool logo. It's got, I'm sure you've seen it by now, if you collect baseball cards enough, you see the rookie card logo on some guys. The company's kind of gotten around it all, and they produce these prospect cards, and I notice the magazine sometimes put P-R-O-S or something for prospect right after the guy's name. So they could produce cards of these guys, like Buster Posey has a Donruss Elite card, and there's some other guys that, you know, when they get drafted, these cards are usually the most valuable set cards in the set, so they want to put them out right away. So they're putting them out as prospect cards instead of rookie cards. Interesting. Figured it would happen. But now a guy usually makes it to the big leagues. It looks like he's going to have a prospect card, say in a Bowman Chrome prospect set or something of that nature. So they'll have a prospect card, and then they'll have what baseball recognizes as true rookie, and they'll put parentheses around that, and that'll be his rookie card. So say someone like Buster Posey is going to have a prospect card, like in Donruss Elite, and he has some other like Razor cards. Then when he makes his appearance with the Giants and plays enough games to be considered a rookie, all these sets will put out rookie cards of Buster Posey. So it's an interesting thing that'll happen. And it might only happen within a year or two of each other. And obviously, collectors have the final say in it. These magazines think that they control the hobby. No, they don't. The collectors have the say. And how they have their say is how they spend their dollars. So the cards that are going to be worth the most, in my opinion, are the ones that were first produced. I don't care if it doesn't have the rookie logo on there, or if it's a prospect card, or if it's a minor league card. I don't really care. If fans and collectors choose that and pay the most for that card, that's what people are going to buy. So you want to keep an eye on that, that rookie card parenthesis thing and those prospect cards. It all varies. It's case-by-case basis. We could have a 40-50, you know, a two-hour show on this topic because it varies from player to player. But after 2006, I believe you want to go with, usually, more often than not, their prospect card, usually their very first cards, usually a Bowman or, you know, a really nice Topps card, Upper Deck, Donruss. Everybody makes really nice baseball cards. So, you know, you'll want to find something that you can collect that's his first card, the player's first card. Don't wait till they make the appearance in the minors, because usually by then it's too late. Donruss Elite's already jumped on board, or some other brands, Topps, Upper Deck, they've already jumped on board. They've already made cards of this guy. Those will be the ones I want to get. Obviously, if you're collecting boxes and packs the year of, like, you know, a year from now or even later this year, Buster Posey might make appearance. You know, his cards are going to be put back into the sets with the rookie card logo. And we'll see what happens. But those will have some value, but they might not have, you know, quite the value that his earlier ones have had. So that's something you want to keep in mind on. It's something unique to baseball. You've got to be really careful when you're buying these rookie cards. I always tell people, do your research. And some of the best ways to do it is just, you know, jump on an eBay, go to sportscardradio.com, help the show out, start your eBay search from eBay, and you have no idea how much you'll be helping us out. So go there, find some rookie cards and do some things like that. Find what collectors are paying the most money for. What gets the most bids? What seem like the hottest items out of that player's collection? You know, you can always do a search, and then there's always a little button. Kind of annoys me with eBay that they sort everything by best match. I always switch it to time ending soonest, but you can do priced highest first, price lowest first, and you can search completed auctions, and it'll give you kind of a general feel, general idea what's hot, what's not, and you'll want to do that usually when these guys have multiple rookie years. You know, like Alex Gordon has, you know, 2006 rookies, and he has all these other ones. Actually, I think it might be further back than that. It might be 2003. I have no idea. That was just something off the top of my head. I know Tim Lincecum has multiple rookie years as well. I think 06 was kind of some of his early ones, and then his true ones are kind of 07. And those tend to be some of the most valuable ones, as Bowman Chromes and things like that. So that leaves us with XRC, and this is not really so much a used term anymore, although this rookie and then rookie parenthesis is kind of the same concept. But XRC definitely has some true value in basketball, I know, and a little bit in football as well. XRC probably is most recognizable with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, I believe, 86-87, I believe, is his Fleer release, which is considered to be a lot of people's rookie card in the NBA. James Worthy, Charles Barkley, I believe. There's just some phenomenal rookie cards in that set. I mean, a pack and a box of that runs you, if you saved boxes and packs of that from those years, you'd be a millionaire by now, because those cards were the first major issue recognized by the NBA and by these price guide magazines as being a major issue. Most of these guys, Michael Jordan, James Worthy, these guys are in their like second or third year at that point. But that's considered his rookie card. What a lot of people don't know is Michael Jordan had cards before that. He had cards, I believe, in 83, 84, 85, 86. Then they were by the Star brand. And I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about the Star brand, but I know it wasn't it was very tricky. It was sold to interesting distribution patterns. They're extremely easy cards to counterfeit. I say easy. I mean, someone like me is not going to print them out on my HP printer, but somebody that's familiar with printing on cardboard stock and doing those things. Obviously, today's technology is not going to allow you to do it, but I remember when I was a kid, you really had to be careful for these Star counterfeit cards. They were sold in like team bag format, very interesting stuff. Still, Michael Jordan's XRC out of those sets worth a fortune, worth several thousand dollars, especially if you can prove it's legitimate. And one of the easiest ways to do that is send it to a grading company. These guys know the printing process and can tell if it's manufactured not in the time era, to probably a certain degree. I doubt it's 100%, but at least getting something that you believe and is certified by either PSA or Beckett, or hanging their hat on those, that kind of thing. So, but that's one of the best known XRCs, is Michael Jordan's. I believe it's out of the 84-85 or the 83-84, one of those Star sets. And most of the time, I believe, though, that wasn't ever in a pack or anything. You had to buy the whole Chicago Bulls team bag or team set. Very interesting products, probably why it wasn't recognized as a major issue. So that's XRC. Usually means it's a rookie card. It's one of the players, if not the player's first card, but it's not from a major recognizable set. So you know, players like Michael Jordan. I know USFL cards, like Steve Young has an XRC, and I know there's some other players that have those kind of things. Maybe Randall Cunningham, those kind of guys that play in the USFL, they have those kind of cards. So we'll see what happens with those down the line, because lots of people like to collect the very first card. And that's kind of what's going on today in baseball. You have kind of that XRC kind of thing going on. You have players that, you know, had rookie cards before they implemented this, you know, rookie card logo. Although as we get further along, we're getting further away from it. But looks like they're calling them prospect cards, because these companies have gotten around it by not calling the card a rookie card. They call it a prospect card. And, you know, collectors have decided those are great cards to collect because, hey, I want the number one pick. I want the, you know, the Steven Strasburg, even though he's not in the major leagues. You know, I want those top players right when they come out. So, you know, we'll see what happens down the road, but it's something you want to keep in mind on when you're buying rookie cards. I always, always recommend either picking up a price guide or doing a search on eBay or doing a search on, you know, your favorite sports card site to find these guys' rookies. And remember, we do the rookie card Rolodex. Remember, it's just me designing the website. So, you know, I'm taking a biology class right now, which is kicking my butt. I've got a job, a couple job interviews. A couple of them seem promising. I'll definitely probably have a job by the end of this month. Based on some of the feedback I've been getting. So I can't always get on there and do my passion, which is web design, and to do this show, but we will update those. So that's a good way to kind of get a feel of what's out there. And if you have any suggestions for that or anything else we've covered here, sportscardshow@gmail.com. We will be talking about one of my favorite people, favorite athletes of all time, Magic Johnson. After this. Bit about Magic Johnson. Obviously, we did cover it. The Lakers, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a big Lakers fan. I'm not a front runner. Been a Lakers fan my whole life. Probably was more in love with the team when, like, during the mid 90s when they had Sadale Threet and Cedric Sabalas and Nick Van Exel and all these Sam Perkins. They definitely weren't winning, but I'm very blessed to be a Lakers fan. They've won when I'm a little kid. They've won when I was, like, right out of high school, and they're winning now. And it's, you know, it's a far cry from the Bengals and the San Francisco Giants. So I guess I get my fill of championships from the Lakers, and obviously it's old news by now that they've won another one, but it's always good to get another championship under the belt. And the Lakers' greatest player of all time, they've had dozens, but probably the player that everybody identifies with the Los Angeles Lakers, Irvin Magic Johnson. I know we have lots of listeners that are of the younger variety of this show. Seems like typical with sports cards, a lot of, you know, just to go off topic subject for just really quickly, a lot of collectors get into collecting, you know, when they're maybe like 12, 13, 14. But then they stop. They're kind of like me. I kind of did it myself just for a little bit, although I did work at a card store right out of high school and into college a little bit. So I never really got away from the hobby too much. But a lot of people collect when they're kind of that young age. And then when they go off to college or they get a job, they kind of forget about it a little bit when they're 19, 20. but they always come back, maybe around 30 or when they have kids, or, you know, maybe even when they get a little bit older than that, 40, 50. So that's the kind of gamut of listeners that we have. You're either fairly young, or I'm not going to say fairly old, but you're definitely a little bit older than some of our younger listeners, and you're a few years past your high school graduation, and so am I. I'm coming up on 10 years. That's seems like just yesterday I was playing high school golf with Ricky Barnes, who, if you don't follow golf, he almost won the U.S. Open, so it was pretty cool to see an old high school teammate make a run at the U.S. Open. We're just bouncing around all kinds of topics. Let's bring it back to the center, and that's our boy Magic Johnson, who obviously wore number 32. Ironically, now again, Ezra sent me a great email. Even though we haven't had a show in a while, Ezra from Utah, always checking in, sent me an email and said Magic Johnson autographs can be had for around $30. I remember maybe reporting that on the show at some point that they were selling for a lot lower. I know Magic signs quite a bit, so you've got a quantity issue here to deal with, but you're also dealing with one of the all-time NBA's greatest players, greatest personalities, and because of his personal, I don't want to say struggles, because he's definitely battled back from having the HIV virus, not to go into having that virus and the ramifications of that too much on the show, but when you were my age, I believe I was only like 12, 13, 14 years old when I found out Magic Johnson had to retire because of this virus. I had no idea about it. I think I was younger than that. I might have been maybe only 7 or 8. I don't remember how old I was when Magic Johnson announced that he had to retire. I think I was about 12 years old, probably. But living with the disease since then, this guy looks great. Seems to be in great health. I know when he tests for the virus, you can barely detect it, or you can't at all. That's just remarkable. He's probably, I know he's done a lot for awareness for the disease. A lot of people didn't know what it was all about and what it all entailed. But I think what Magic did probably the most for that disease is it can happen to anyone. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. It can happen to your friends, anybody, your brothers, your sisters. This virus can get anyone. And so that's why you've always got to be very careful and always got to do the things you got to do to protect yourself from getting this very horrible disease. And if you don't have the financial resources and the kind of things Magic Johnson has, and I know a lot of people don't, especially in other countries, and especially people that are poor, don't have the kind of resources Magic has. Magic is a very, very fine example of someone living with this disease. And it makes me a bigger fan of his because he's been so open about it. He's made some mistakes in his life, but he was a fantastic basketball player. No one quite like this guy. He's a little bit, the only player that reminds me a little bit today of him is LeBron James because of LeBron's size and LeBron's passing ability. Magic was not nearly as explosive and not nearly the athlete, although Magic's quite an athlete himself to be as tall and be as agile as he was and is. Not nearly as explosive in terms of dunking the ball and going above the rim as LeBron, but very similar skills. And obviously won at all levels of his career, but you can have autographs, especially very nice autographs in the $40 to $50 range, but yes, you can get them in the $30 range. Magic Johnson, when he passes away, these cards are going to skyrocket. I mean, let's just break it down. Look at Michael Jackson. I mean, this guy's autographs and memorabilia and, I mean, songs on the radio, this guy's probably made more, unfortunately, Michael Jackson has probably made more money in the last week being dead than he made all year on his music. And it's just the way it goes. Honestly, it's just the way it goes. And Magic is going to be in the same boat. People will remember how great Magic was. Obviously, people like me, Laker fans and things like that, are always going to love Magic. But people not necessarily a Lakers fan, not necessarily trying to collect the old school guys that are retired. They're trying to get the, you know, the Griffins and the Tibbetts and the, you know, the guys, Ricky Rubios and those kind of guys. They're not really worried about Magic Johnson. You know, a lot of people aren't even worried about Michael Jordan. And talk about a guy that's cards values are going to soar when he gets later on in life and maybe stops signing as much or doing those kind of things. We'll see what happens. But Magic signs quite a bit, so there's a lot of things to choose from. In terms of just checking on eBay right now, you got 140 completed in the last 30 days, so there's a lot of different things. Obviously, there's some higher-end stuff if you want to go up in the $100 range. Some of the newer stuff, some of the UD Black kind of stuff, tends to go for a little bit more. Some of his dual cuts and triple stuff, with obviously loves to get paired with Larry Bird, and Isaiah Thomas, and these kind of guys. So see what happens with Magic, but got to be in the dumps. Obviously, a lot of it has to do with the economy. People, even $30, $40, $50 is a lot of money, but you're definitely getting in at a low point. Can't imagine Magic Johnson cards going down any further. I mean, this guy's already gone through a lot, and, you know, I can't imagine him doing something that's going to make his cards go down. And like we said, as this guy gets older, he has a crippling disease, and he's fighting it brilliantly. But we got to remember, this guy has AIDS, and that kind of disease can take over your body. I'm not trying to imply anything, Magic. You're my boy. I remember crying very hard when I saw him retire. I was a smaller kid. I didn't understand why he had to retire, why my favorite basketball player was retiring. It was heartbreaking. I remember crying at his retirement ceremony, crying when he announced that he had to retire at that press conference. I mean, Magic's just a, you know, big part of my life, a big part of my parents' life. I know that. So not trying to get you out of the door sooner than you should go, Magic, but you got to keep that in mind with this guy. It's been on my list for a long time to scoop a Magic Johnson autograph. There was a time when I could not afford it because they were quite expensive. They were in the $70 to $80 range to $100, even higher than that. But it does look like he signed quite a bit. And obviously, like we said, the economy is still fairly rough. People have lost jobs or you know, even works have cut back on people's hours, so they've got to save that money to pay the bills and, you know, put diapers on the kids and things like that, or pay for gas and all those things. All that stuff's coming into focus, and you've got to pay attention to it because, you know, it's tough. It's tough to make it when people are losing jobs, but there is a good news to all that, is that it all ends and it all turns around, and hopefully we will learn from our mistakes and not let things explode upwards, because we see what happens when you let home prices and interest rates go to the floor and home prices go to the roof. What happens is you have a major recession, one that hasn't been seen in 20 to 30 years that follows. But that's all for another day, all for another time. We are running out of time. Speaking of that, remember, visit our website, sportscardradio.com. Near the top, the YSL charity drive is going on, so check them out. Donate some cards. I know I've had a couple listeners express some interest. I believe we have one that's already sent in some cards, and others that are getting ready to dig them out and sometimes go through the big boxes you got sitting in the closet or in the garage, wherever they might be. You got to go through that. We will have our contest. I want to update you. I'm not trying to avoid you guys. Our contest, our box break, more than likely, I had a listener contact me later. I know I said on there that I was going to cut it off, but let's open it back up. I have a feeling that nobody's going to mind on the forum. This is on the fan forum, sportscardradio.com/forum. And you can also go to sportscardradio.com. Just find the fan forum links. They're all over the place. Find that. Go there. Register from there. Go ahead and go to the fan forum and log in or register, whatever you need to do. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. All the instructions are there if you find a, you know, forum and find a thread. Click on that. If you're familiar with forums, you'll see a little sticky with kind of instructions on how to sign up, because I get tons and tons of just spam. Just, I don't know, they must be computerized, because my inbox literally 40, 50 a day gets activate this new user, but they're all just spam artists and things like that. But definitely send me an email with your username, and I will approve you within a day or so if you do that. So you can start joining the community. But we had a listener contact me later after the cutoff date and wanted to get up in our box break. And the reason why I bring it up now is I haven't gotten a box yet, but that's because I'm waiting to hear back from some sponsors. I've gotten some promising emails from one or two, and I'm just waiting for one of them to come through for me and hook us up with a box. It's all for the listeners. It's all for you guys. I'm not going to keep any of these cards. I don't want any of these cards, and it also has a little bit due to technology. My computer hasn't been working, my good one, with a lot of memory. Again, I'm on my laptop here, and I apologize if the sound, I know there was some clicking and probably some things that are not as good to the ear as my last computer, so hopefully I'm going to get that fixed. Again, I'm running Linux on it. Anybody that's a Linux expert, maybe can shoot me an email as well, because I'm having some problems loading this Audacity program and another program I need to record the programs on there. So if you're a Linux expert, maybe we can get in contact with each other and work on that. But until then, I am working on a sponsor for the box break, so I'm just waiting to hear back from them. I actually got an email yesterday, a matter of fact, about the subject. So we will be working on that, and we'll be doing that shortly. And also my camera, for some reason, the little video switch on it doesn't, like, I records video for a couple seconds, and then for some reason it turns off. So I don't know if it's my camera or if it, maybe the battery's not charged or I've dropped it on the floor one too many times. So I'm probably going to have to borrow, I know my sister has a really nice video camera, and I believe my parents have one as well. So I'll have to borrow theirs and kind of figure out how it works. Make sure I get it recorded, because the last thing I want to do is open a box with the idea of recording it and not be recording it. That's something I don't want to do. I want to make sure I do it right. And, you know, I do it right the first time, which is a good motto for anything. But this has ended up being a pretty long show. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. We'll be coming back. I've got lots of shows to make up, so I'm going to have to start doing like two a week. Hopefully I have some time. Again, I'm taking class at a local JC. It's going pretty well. It's a biology class. Being a business major, not always probably the wisest idea, considering the language is somewhat foreign, but doing that, hanging out, enjoying the weather, hopefully get a job here by the end of this month. It's looking good. I'm crossing my fingers, not holding my breath, believe me, if I've held my breath, waiting for a job, I would have been dead a long time ago. But hopefully the job comes in. The stock market's been great. Sports cards are exciting, and the summer months are always good. Let me know how things are going. Send me an email. Visit our website. Fan Forum is where it's at. If you haven't signed up, get your butt over there and sign up. Send me an email. Do what you gotta do. Until then, we're out of here.